The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS, LLC, and Cottingham Management Company, LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS, LLC, Cottingham Management Company, LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS, LLC, and Cottingham Management Company, LLC, are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to another edition of The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
We are The Portfolio Doctors. And the biggest purpose of our show is really to help you understand that there is so much, I don't know if I'll call it false information, but it, in many cases that is a good descriptive
sales
term.
Sales pitch, I would put it more.
It is absolutely sensationalized. And you have to understand, because of the 24/7 mentality of the media, they have to create news where there is none. And when there is some, they need to make it seem like it's the biggest, best, or biggest, worst event ever, and make it into much more than it really is on either side.
Well, they're selling news.
Right.
They're not trying to sell you an investment. I mean, they're selling
Ad time, which indirectly they are selling you investments.
Correct. Well, the advertisers are trying to sell you something.
Correct.
They're trying to sensationalize the news to be able to get you to listen, watch, so that then the ad...
Get you hyped up so when the ad comes on, you can say, oh, I need to do that because they're talking about this today.
And that's one of the funniest things to me when you watch those types of shows. They try and explain every market move. So, the Dow was down by 200 points today because... Mm-hmm. Like anyone knows why it really went down by 200, right, or it went up today by 120 points because...
Right, we're hitting all-time highs again, so and it's because...
You can actually tell us the exact thing, particularly when they go, the market was up 100 points today because Intel came out with good numbers. So right. Intel moved the entire S&P 500 100 points.
There is some
there's a
credibility
bit,
to that,
but not the whole
because
move.
Of the market weighting of the indexes.
Yeah, but not the whole move.
No,
I mean,
no, not at all.
There's no way.
The only thing they're correct on is when they're explaining that the market hit all-time highs, the only true answer would be because it's at a higher number than it was the last time it was at a high. That's the only accuracy that they're giving when they're trying to explain it. And what all this means to you and to your investments, to your retirement, to everything, what we're trying to help you understand is that you know you better than anyone else. So the decisions that you're making should be for your best interest, not for anyone else's. They should not be because it was a great sales pitch. There are too many cases where someone gets sold something and then the buyer's remorse sets in and you end up with something that really doesn't accomplish what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, I guess buyer's remorse, there's two types of buyer's remorse. Yep. The one you've got to ignore and the one you've got to take notice of. The one you ignore is your next door neighbor saying, hey, I'm up 30% this year and you're sitting on 12.
Right.
Well, you ignore that because if 12 was your target or above your target and your risk-adjusted return, you're taking on just about zero risk, and your 12% could be a way better return than their 30.
Correct. Your money was maybe never at any real risk of going down, but you earned 12%. That's just a big bonus.
Correct.
Or that person that earned 30%, they could have had the risk of losing 40 or 50%.
Yeah. So that's a type of remorse that people get sucked into, but you've got to ignore that. The type of remorse that you really need to actually think about and take notice of is, as you mentioned, Dan, when you get sucked in and you buy something and it drops by 15% and it wasn't part of your true portfolio, it was just a sales pitch, that's when you got to wake up and actually get up, go to the mirror, stare at that person that's looking into the mirror and really give yourself a good talking to, because that's the one you really got to take note of. The first one you can ignore, The second one, which is the one where you really made the mistake, because you've got to understand, and that's the whole premise of the show, is the responsibility for the investments is yours.
Correct.
It's not the salesman. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not your next-door neighbor. It's not anybody. It's yours. And so you need to understand what's going on. You need to learn and be educated. We're here to help you educate yourself so that hopefully when you do get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you can have a smile on your face.
Right. Say, hey, I'm making good decisions for myself and for
or
the future.
I don't have to worry about that person that's telling me what I should have earned this year because I've done exactly what I need to.
Understand, just like the financial media, it is typically just noise.
Correct.
There are some of the best money managers out there these days that are finally starting to recognize and say, it's just noise.
Yeah.
I mean, Janet Yellen, just recently, she said...
She's a money manager.
She came out and said all the talk of inflation, all these different factors, she said, it's noise.
So we're, and
that was actually surprising to hear. And it, a lot of people kind of sat up tall when she said that and went, well, wow, wait a minute.
I wonder if she was talking about their inflation numbers being way too low.
Well, they might be creating a little bit of their own noise, but...
I think they're the ones that have got the boombox loudest, to be honest.
Most noise. They've got the good old-fashioned one sitting on the shoulder and blasting
it
loud.
What are those things called? The woofer or the subwoofer or whatever, when you have a car next to you at the stop sign. How do those people hear?
And it's giving you a nice massage as it drives by.
Yeah, and you're in the car next to them. Seriously, I've wondered, what's their life of their eardrums?
Very short.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. Anyway, so that's the type of noise that I believe is coming out of the Fed, but that's just me.
And understand, between Steve and I, we've got close to 50, not quite 50 years of experience.
That's because he's too young, people.
Yeah. I'm holding us back a little bit.
You're holding us back.
I think I'm knocking on 19 years, and you're... pushing over 30 at this point, as far as years of experience in these markets.
30. I'm getting old now.
You've traded across the globe. I've been focusing on investments and financial planning my whole career. And so between us, we feel we've got a wealth of knowledge that we can share that we hope will give you the ability to make the best decisions for yourself.
We do. We've got an enormous amount of knowledge for everything from business valuations to running businesses to turning them around to trading stocks and bonds and futures. I mean, we've pretty much covered the globe in terms of everything.
Right.
I don't know too many investments that between the two of us we haven't actually done. One that I never did was swaps. But I mean, for this what we're trying to educate now, no one's really going to touch a swap pretty much. But I mean, it's those
Well, it depends on what type of swap you're talking about. Because if it comes to like tax loss, tax swaps.
I mean, we've done that, but I'm talking about the big swap market that's out there that most people don't even need to worry about other than when it blows up and drags us all down.
Yeah, I think both of our philosophies follow very similar to Warren Buffett. That if you don't understand what you're investing in, you shouldn't be investing in it.
No, and that sort of ties in with the last couple of weeks of discussions about businesses. And one of the reasons we've talked so much about buying or selling a business and we've focused more on the private small business is because a business, whether you're buying stock of Apple on Wall Street or whether you're buying the entire business here at home, it doesn't matter. It's the same valuation metrics.
Right.
Don't get sucked into the fact that, oh, well, it's a small business. That doesn't count. What a bunch of nonsense. It all counts.
It doesn't matter
how big or small you are.
There's a lot of very, very wealthy people that own small businesses.
Yeah.
And the business never grows into this big global business, and they retire very comfortably.
Yep. And that's another thing, just talking about businesses, that there's always this tipping point. Should I go try and go bigger?
Right.
Or should I stay where I am? And a lot of times the right answer is stay where you are, particularly if you're printing $400,000-$600,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a classic example of that. There's a guy I know down here in San Diego, and he had a business, and it was very successful, making about $1 million a year. And he phones me up and says, I want to sell. And I go, well, okay. I said, just as a matter of interest, how many hours a week do you work? He goes, about 20. The business pretty much runs itself. And I said, and why exactly do you want to sell a business and you're only working 20 hours a week and you're making $1 million a year? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, now what are you going to do, go buy another business and work like crazy? He goes, oh, no, you're right. Thanks, Steve. See you. And that was the end of that conversation.
Your first question should have been, how much?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, once he told you that that was the work, the workload.
But I mean, sometimes people just, and the point of the story is, he thought, well, I need to probably try and grow this business, make it bigger. Well, why? Right. You're set. You've got what you need. You're happy. You're only working 20 hours a week. You could earn, work more if you want, but you don't have to.
Correct.
You have got what everyone's desperate to try and find.
Right.
And once I alerted him to that, then he was, you know, a lot happier. And that was the end of that consulting gig.
Definitely. Well, but I think that it's that Shark Tank mentality.
Yeah.
It's a great show, but it is people that think, oh, I have to take it bigger because I can't keep up with what I'm doing now. And that's
sometimes
that
just
can be a path, right? It could make sense. And that's part of why we're here. If you have a question, I mean, that's a perfect example. Steve could have easily said, well, I'll buy that business from you, knowing that there's only 20 hours of work revolved.
Or said, hey, I'll charge you $15,000 to value your business.
Right.
I mean, he got all that information in 20 minutes from me for nothing.
Perfect.
Lucky guy.
Well, stick around. When we come back, we will get a little deeper into business valuations, our continued discussion topic here for the last couple weeks. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show on KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Between us, as we discussed previously, we have not quite 50 years of...
He's a stickler for the rules, folks. We've got 49.
49. Don't want to get in trouble with anyone.
No, exactly right. But but we've been talking business valuations for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to wrap that up this week. But the one thing that I want to just bring up is this whole idea. I've had so many business owners who are trying to sell the business come to me and say, okay, so what is the multiple against sales, as we mentioned before, against cash flow? And I'll say, well, in your case, it's one time sales. And they go, okay, so I did $100,000 in sales, so the business is worth $100,000. And just for purposes of this discussion, let's assume that it is. So I say, yes. And then they go, well, I've also got machinery and equipment and a few other bits and pieces and a truck and da-da-da. That's worth $50,000. So it's the $100,000 for the rare income and the $50,000 for the equipment. And the answer is no.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound right.
No, you can't add the two together because the assets are producing the income.
Right.
If you sold the assets and you pocketed that 50 grand, the income would go to zero.
Unless it's maybe a strange situation where you're selling it to a like business and they already have all that equipment and they won't need it, then somehow maybe you'd be able to pull it out.
Well, then they're just buying the customer list.
Okay.
And at that point, you're probably not going to get the multiple of one sales.
Okay.
Although I do have a friend in town here who buys businesses, is happy to pay one-time sales because he's got an entire distribution chain and all he does is buy that new, and he's just looking at the product and he just takes the product, makes changes, instead of being, you know, XYZ company's product, it now becomes his ABC company product, and he just slips that new product into his, you know, salespeople's brochure, and they've got another product, and zip, it goes through the distribution channel. So he, you know, he looks less at the customer list and more at the product, and that's a synergistic type purchase. And he's pretty much going to shut down, like you said. Most of the time, he gets rid of most of the equipment and most of that staff and most of everything. All he wants to do is take that competitor out of the market and grab the customer list and the product.
So with that, if he paid, say, that one-time multiple, so he pays whatever the revenue is and gets all that equipment, he's going to offset the cost to some extent because he'll just offload that equipment somewhere else.
That's what he does.
Even if it's at a discount. Big deal. It's just
doesn't matter to him.
Okay.
You're exactly right. So he would then sell the equipment off, and then he's also looking at it from another way, because he would go, well, they earning, let's say, 15% income on this, you know, investment. I know that for me, I don't even look at the net income line because I'm just looking at the gross margin line, which is higher up the balance of the income statement, right? It's just your sales list, what the direct costs associated with that sale is, gives you your gross margin. He's looking at that number because as long as that gross margin is above 50%, he knows that his overhead's already set. He knows what his overheads are because he's got all of that taken care of, right? And it's all covered. So he just looks and goes, man, this gross margin is big. It's juicy enough. And with my distribution channel, I can triple these sales in a couple of years. So that's what he's buying.
Right.
And that's, talk about a synergistic purchase. That's, I mean, what a fantastic model. He's become very successful.
It's almost like a restaurant adding a new menu item.
Pretty much. Exactly.
There's no real additional cost other than obtaining that product.
The cost of your bun and your burger meat or whatever.
Right.
It is.
The marginal cost, or the incremental cost is so minimal.
Correct.
It's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah, and that's why he just looks for these small little mom-and-pop businesses and snaps it up, which sort of goes back to last week when we were talking about your guy who didn't want to sell the business because there was no value.
Right.
There could be a person like my friends out there who's going, I'll take that because I've got everything else set up. I'll just slip this into my inventory and away we go.
Right.
So, you know, that's something to consider. But, yeah, the one fallacy that people have is the fact that you can't double dip. You can't get your income and your asset value. You can get one or the other. And so you're either basing this business on a metric of cash flow or on the value of the assets. You can't add the two together.
So you want to look at that and see which one may fetch that higher dollar and decide if that's how you sell it or not.
And then the next thing that you want to look at in terms of this is working capital. Now, for those of people who don't understand what working capital is, that's essentially the money that runs through your business to keep the wheels greased, right? So you need a certain amount of money to make payroll, to pay your vendors for whatever you've purchased from them. And so all the working capital is your current assets less your current liabilities. So your current assets would be your cash or your accounts receivable, whatever people still owe you, less most of the time your payments on your credit cards that you owe, however, what your balance is on your credit cards. And maybe if you've got some type of short-term loan, that would be it. Or if you owe some people some money that you've purchased some product and you've got an accounts payable. So the two pluses are your cash and your accounts receivable, and the minuses are your credit card debt and your accounts payable, the people who you owe. And hopefully that's a positive number.
Right.
Yeah, some companies it's not, but
quite a few companies trading publicly that it's not.
Oh man, if you don't have a positive working capital, you're in trouble because now you're burning money. Okay, and there's only so many bits of equipment and things you can sell to keep yourself afloat.
Amazon's the one people talk about the most, where they're not showing any revenue, or not they're showing plenty of revenue, they're not showing any income.
Yeah, well, you know, the working capital, if you just want to do an analysis of a business, just check and see that that working capital is positive, because if it's not, then I don't care, you can manipulate the numbers like we showed you IBM did 2 weeks ago, a week ago, but If they're manipulating the numbers, that'll pop up right away in working capital.
Right.
If you've got a negative working capital, then that's showing that you're bleeding. So let's assume your company you're buying is a positive working capital. Sometimes you will add that working capital number onto that purchase price, because really that's not really part of the business. But most of the time, the seller will pay off the accounts payable, will collect all the outstanding receivables and take the cash out of the till and walk off. So you will have to not only buy the business, but you're buying the assets of the business, but then you'll have to also fund it with working capital to get it off the to keep it afloat. So that's something to factor in. So in our little example of the business cost 100 grand, you might need 20% working capital, which means you might need to have $20,000 additional cash just to fund that business to get it going again, to provide enough money to pay staff before the person pays you. I mean, well, I've got a little business in Hawaii, and that's cash business pretty much. We sell fudge and taffy and things like that. But because you've got that cash coming in every day, that pretty much takes care of the working capital. Because, yeah, you know, even when we purchased the company, we didn't have to fund it with much working capital, because day one, the first client walked in then, you know, admittedly it was
like, products being sold.
Bought product, and so all you had to do was just have enough to purchase the raw materials, and away we went. But a lot of companies aren't like that, where you actually need a fairly high level of working capital, and that's something to really
to
consider.
Start.
Because, you know, let's assume you're a construction company, and I had one of those as well.
Well, it goes back to the example from last week of recurring revenue.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have that recurring revenue, which is your example in Hawaii, you had money coming in just from foot traffic, and that is more than enough to offset the day-to-day operating of the business mostly. Yeah,
whereas when we had the construction company, man alive, payroll seemed to come around every second day, because, I mean, you just didn't collect any money for a month at a time. And yet you had to pay people every week.
Right.
And so we need a lot of working capital there.
Yeah, and that becomes a very difficult situation if you're teetering on the edge of having enough to make payroll. Payroll is not something you want to miss.
Well, particularly when you're only 25 years old and you only have $10,000 total. I mean, it made life a bit challenging.
Regulators frown pretty heavily and very quickly if you're missing payroll. People are entitled to the wages that they're working for.
That the regulators were the least of my worries. The employees themselves were way more annoyed.
Yeah, if you can survive the employees, the regulators are going to be next in line
exactly
and get you.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, again, we put this out there every week, and we've gotten some fantastic questions, and we try to answer them as quick as possible. You can reach us, you can call, leave us a message. We're on the air now, so obviously we wouldn't be able to answer it, but 858-764-7250. Once again, that's 858-764-7250. Or you can email either Steve or I at steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. We also have podcasts available online on our website, theportfoliodoctors.com, and also iTunes. So you can search for us. If this is your first time listening, you're enjoying the show, we really would welcome you to go to iTunes and download a couple of our past shows. Listen to those, and we hope that triggers some questions and you reach out. We are here to answer questions and help you any way we can. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio.
Intelligent Talk, 1170, KCBQ.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need LeadCommerce. LeadCommerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. LeadCommerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of LeadCommerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And we have been wrapping up our conversation here over the last few weeks about business valuations, buying, selling, and everything in between. We're going to continue with that. We're just about done with this topic. And next week, I think, are we going to talk a little bit about stocks and how these last 2 weeks and why we've been doing this over the last 2 weeks kind of lead into how that can benefit you in investing in a stock and ways to do that.
What we're talking about, while it is valuing a business and evaluating whether to buy one or sell one, it can be transferred straight across to the stock exchange. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what analysts do. When you read the analyst report and they put a buy rating on it, I mean, I used to be an analyst. That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
You do all of these same metrics. You try and find if there's any growth out there. Where's the growth going to come from? Look at the competitive nature of the, you know, well, who the competitors are. They stealing market share? Are we gaining market share? Look at our innovation. Look at our management team. Is it stronger or weaker? And then you try and get a determination of that. And then you take the metrics and you place what you think is a buy or sell rating on it.
Right. I remember when I was studying for the CFP exam. And what is it, the CapEx model?
Yeah.
And I
CapM.
I couldn't believe when I first started seeing that and going through and calculating valuations that could be accurate, that's not accurate. But as a simple means of evaluating and determining, okay, a stock is trading at 25, it should be 35.
Yep.
You could somewhat determine that, provided the data you're putting in is accurate, which that's where the challenge lies, is determining.
Yeah, let me explain that. The CAPM is the capital asset pricing model, and I'm not going to get into it too heavily now, but the point of the matter is it's exactly what we're talking about. It's just looking at the cash flows of the company and bringing them back to present value, and that provides you what the value of the company is. And as you say, the CAPM is only as accurate as the inputs, and there's so many inputs that it could be wrong. It's never right, in fact.
Right.
I've done business valuations for 20 years, and I've only ever got it right once, okay? And I'll tell you how I managed to get it right. Because now when you're doing a valuation of a business, When I say right, I'm talking about on the number. I'm talking about to the penny. I'm not talking about, oh, I've been wrong for 19 years.
That's probably one time more than most analysts that are out there today.
Yeah. And I'll tell you how I got it right. It was a smallish business. Now, when you go and buy or sell a business or you're valuing a business, it's all based on a willing buyer and a willing seller. And that's why the number that an evaluation person, even when you've got a valuation done on your house, they place a number on this house. It's never going to be the exact number that a buyer buys, right? Because they have a different idea of what they think they're willing to pay.
There might be something about that house that's really intriguing.
Right.
They just love to death and they're willing to pay much more than what
Correct.
That number is.
Or less or whatever. Right. You might just get anxious and want to sell tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you take a little bit less. So the chances of them actually hitting the number on the head are pretty slim to none. They're just lucky. Well, right. It's same with the business. And in the business, you've got way more inputs than you do just in a house. A house, you've just got a house. Mm-hmm. A business, you've got employees, you've got growth of sales, you've got, you know, market metrics, you've got where are we in the business cycle. I mean, you've got all these other things that you're trying to factor in. So the one, I got it exactly on the head once. And what I did was, it was actually a business that was being sold by a couple that were getting divorced. And it was a little flower shop. So I was trying to do the analysis, and I was going to charge them, I think, $5,000 or $10,000 to value this business. So while you're doing a valuation, you want to meet the owners of the business. But because they were getting divorced, I was going to meet with them individually.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of them was going to end up with this business. They couldn't work at it together anymore. So I went and I saw the husband. And I said, we're talking through it. And during the conversation, he said, if she thinks I'm prepared to pay more than $300,000 for this business, she's got another thing coming. So, okay, you know, calm down, you know. Mm-hmm. So off I go, and a day or two go by, I go to meet the wife. And during the conversation, I asked her what she thought the value was. And she goes, if he thinks I'm going to pay more than $300,000 for this business, he's got another thing coming. So I sent them both an email that afternoon. I said, the value of this business is $300,000. And by the way, instead of paying me $5,000, you just owe me $1,000. And do you know what amazes me? They got mad with me because I hadn't done a proper analysis, they said, and because all I had done was listen to what they had told me, and so they thought they'd been shortchanged. I go, I've saved you $4,000, A, and B, you both agreed to the price.
Right.
So that's a willing buyer, willing seller. You can't get a better metric of value than that.
Yeah, that's fair market value.
That
right
was
there.
Fair market value. Yeah. I mean, that was bang on, and they paid $300,000, and that was it.
Done. Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's funny to me that people feel like you have to do this full analysis. They wanted to see spreadsheets and market analyses and all this stuff. You didn't need it for this little business.
Right.
You just needed to know what each one was willing to pay.
Right.
And then, because let me tell you, when you've run a business like they have for 10 years, you know the value of that business backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know the upside downs are way better than any analyst.
Right, unless one party wasn't that involved.
Yeah.
And
but no,
the other
they were
one
both,
was
yeah.
in the day-to-day, then you're going to have some skewed information. One person's not going to be.
Yeah, but that was funny. So that's the only one. But so the idea, though, is that it's the same type of analysis, though, that you do with stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the other thing I want to address before we run out of time and before this segment ends, and then we have to, you know, rehash this again. But when you're buying a business, there's two ways you can raise money. You can either sell a piece of the business. In other words, you're selling equity in your company, or you can get debt. That's it. There's no other way known to man to raise money. You can either take a loan or you can sell a piece of the business off. Now, it might seem cheap up front to sell a piece of the business off, right? But that's actually way more expensive money than debt, assuming the business can handle the debt payment. Because what's debt cost you today? Call it on a high-risk business. Let's say 12%. Okay, that's high.
That would be very high.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, what Apple came out.
Yeah, but we're not Apple. We're buying a small business.
Small business.
If we were Apple, that would be
a
different
3%.
Story. Yeah, but you're not Apple, whatever business you're buying, we're assuming 10 to 12%.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot, but let's assume the business can handle it. At some point in the next 2 or 3 years, you've probably paid that debt off. Now you've retained all the equity. If you had sold off, let's say, 50% of your business, 3 years later, you're still paying that equity guy a distribution. You're right. paying that person a distribution forever.
Perpetually,
plus,
unless you buy him back out.
Exactly. That's where we are going. Plus, if you've done a good job of growing this business, the cost to buy them out has gone up by the amount you've grown the business.
Right. And that's a difficult situation because you don't want to be paying someone
forever
for a long time into the future.
Yeah.
For all the hard work you're putting in.
Correct.
You want to reap the benefits of that. So you need to understand that, yes, it's nice to have some investor that's willing to help, but you should create a strategy right away.
And a buyout.
The exit strategy of, okay, 5 years down the road, you're paid off, and we'll guarantee you a fixed, for sure, some rate. If the growth is bigger, then it'll be a bigger amount, but something along those lines.
Agreed. And you've got to look at that buyout strategy very carefully, because that's something you want to get done up front. You don't want to wait till the end.
Right.
And I mean, but the thing is that, because it's easier to negotiate this stuff before it happens mm-hmm. rather than later on, because that's when you get into court cases and all of the rest
of it. And you don't want to get, it can get really ugly, especially if the person sees the growth that has been going on, then they're going to demand even more if you don't have something clear cut, clearly defined.
Right. And that goes back to our discussion on metrics a few weeks ago, or a few, weeks ago, actually.
Yep.
Because as the business grows, it becomes more successful. You're getting more clients on board. The growth rate expands, the multiples expanding. So right. where they bought in at, let's say, 3x cash flows, now you're going to have to buy them out at 5x cash flows because of your effort.
And the cash flows are significantly higher.
So you've now, that's why the cost of
equity. It's a really magnified number.
Yeah, it's really expensive. If you can get away with it, go for debt. The one thing I will say, though, is debt, when you're getting a loan, until that debt is paid back, they own your business.
Correct.
I don't care whether you owe them $2 or whether you owe them $100,000. Until that dollar is paid back, debt always trumps equity. Mm-hmm. So you have basically given the business away until it's paid back.
Similar to the mortgage with the bank.
Yeah.
You don't own your house until you make that last payment. The bank owns it.
Correct.
Even if it's just a few dollars.
So that's something to be very careful about, which is why most people head for equity in the beginning. But I think ultimately most companies end up with some kind of a blend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are, and this is far too detailed to get into, there are advantages to issuing debt.
Correct.
And advantages to selling an equity stake.
Right.
And we don't have enough time today or the next few weeks to cover all of those pieces.
Yes, we do.
We do.
You're young. You can keep going after
right.
I'm gone.
I'm not in this nearly as long as you have been. Well, again, we want to hear from you guys. Any questions that pop up, as we're talking about different topics, or maybe you read an article in the paper and it seems too good to be true, shoot us an email, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. We can look at a situation for you and give you kind of an unbiased perspective that maybe you hadn't thought of. Have you look at something from a different angle that maybe all of a sudden makes it make more sense and clears up what the right decision would be for you. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Intelligent Talk, 1170, KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation Station. Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors radio show here on KCBQ 1170. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And we are now going to, although we probably could still continue talking on business valuation, there's so many other moving parts.
Well, put it this way. I used to lecture business valuations at UCSD. Mm-hmm. And I did, it was 10 or 11 lectures, and each lecture was 3 hours long.
Wow.
So that's 33 hours on business valuations that we've tried to cover in, what have we done?
Probably not quite a full 3 hours, but...
Of one. So we've done the whole of business
in one lecture.
So in other words,
we've spread ours out over 3 weeks.
There's a couple of holes in the whole thing that we've... You know, we can always fill in the blanks if you want to just give us a call. We're always here to help.
Definitely. We are available via telephone, via email. Go to our website. Any of the above, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can if you have any kind of question pertaining to any of the topics we ever talk about, or even topics we haven't talked about. Anything financially related, we are here as a resource for you. We want you to contact us. If we don't know the answer, we have contacts in that specific industry. I would assume, I'm comfortable saying close to 100% of the case of any questions we've ever gotten, if we didn't know the answer.
I don't know one that we haven't got answered yet.
No.
Unless you want to ask us about how to repair a car or something like that, we're out. But anything financial,
I'll give you the name of a good mechanic.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll be able to help you.
The Tappet Brothers, are they?
Yeah. Unless it's a Tesla, I'm not sure who works on those.
No, exactly.
But so right now we're going to wrap up the overall overview of business valuation and, again, talk just very briefly on what we're going to do next week, how all of this conversation really translate into equity investing and different types of investing, and what you need to keep in mind when you're basically investing your money and putting it out there, taking the chance that it's going to grow. So, Steve, yeah,
it's sort of interesting to me just how enamored the United States is with the stock exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find this in other countries. I mean, there's sort of a mass appeal to the CNBC and the programs. I mean, most countries, it'll appear on the news, you know, the market did this, and then that's sort of it, you know. In America, there's this entire industry that's been established. I couldn't believe it when I got here from South Africa, that there was all this talk about this business is this and this business is that and this and that. I'm like, what does it really matter to the person in the street? And in all honesty, most of the time, it doesn't really.
Right.
But everyone seems to have got caught up because of the supposed get rich quick. We're going to buy a few shares and do nothing. And whoa, we're going to be worth $1 bazillion in a month. You know, and you hear all the stories about people who got into Facebook early or bought Google when it just got launched, or
Apple.
Best example, if you bought
Apple 10 years ago when it looked like they were going out of business.
Yep, and who would have bought it then? No one.
Right, it would have worked out pretty well.
It would have, but did you get in?
Well, I did not. I have not owned a single share of Apple that I'm aware of.
But the point to the whole thing is it just amazes me. And you need to always put this into perspective. You know, mm-hmm. You don't have to even own a stock. I know plenty of highly wealthy people that don't own a single stock.
Most of the wealthiest people I've ever dealt with don't touch the stock market.
Why would they?
Right.
It's in a way, we're not going to say it as far as a Ponzi scheme, but it's sort of a self-promoting type thing. Mm-hmm. But the idea behind the stock market was set up to be able to gain access to capital. And that was what we were talking about in this business valuation section. It's, you know, you can gain access to capital when you sell equity. It's the same as taking your stock public. They're trying to sell mm-hmm. stock to the public and raise it for the company. You can do the same, but you just have to go to mom and dad or you know, cousins or aunts or friends or whatever it is.
Right, and friends and family.
Yeah, and that's selling equity out, and that's how most businesses start. I mean, you think of Qualcomm here in San Diego. That probably started with friends and family money way back when, and those lucky guys who got into that original investment are probably billionaires.
And that started out as a global tracking system. I think their first product was a...
Yeah.
Tracking system for the semi trucks, for the trucking industry, shipping industry, trucking industry.
Yeah, so there you go. So it's just another example of sometimes if you're looking for an investment, maybe instead of saying, hey, I've got to try and find the next high flying stock, maybe you should consider your nephew's idea to, you know, start a social network. Yeah. if his name was. What's the Facebook guy's name?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, if his name's Mark Zuckerberg, you might want to,
right.
You know, you missed that one. But, I mean, that's how these things start.
It probably would have worked out well if you loaned him about $10,000 about 10 or so years ago.
Although, based on that movie, you know, it seems like he tried to get around giving those people
back.
Stock.
Oh, really?
But anyway. The point to the matter is that oftentimes, especially as you said, Dan, you need to understand the investment. You know, it's sometimes the best opportunity is right in front of you, but you need to understand how to value these types of opportunities before you get in, which is why we spend right. so long on this business valuation side of things, because that's just going to tie in exactly when we start our talk on stocks next week.
Right. And the different, there's so many ways to invest in the stock market. We're going to go into pretty good detail, and that will more than likely spill over into the following week as well.
Well, if it's taken us 3 weeks to go through business valuations, I got to believe we'll be on stocks.
Stocks are easy. Markets are, they're not very large. There's not much going on there.
No, but even with the stocks, and just the same with a private business, there's always cycles. So you, depending on where the business cycle is, I mean, I've got a friend in town here who owns a construction company, and I remember back in 2010, he came to me and he just said, I'm getting out of construction. You know, this business is terrible. There's no work. There's nothing to do. And then he didn't get out. And I saw him about a week ago, all smiles now. Oh, you're so busy. He's hiring crew and everything's working. And I'm like, there's a classic example of a business cycle.
Right.
You have to have the longevity and you have to have the deep pockets to be able to survive some of these down dips. Because if you can, when you come out the other side, suddenly a lot of your competition is gone and you now have access to parts of the market you wouldn't have before.
Right. Your customer base has now expanded without you doing a single thing.
Yeah.
No marketing.
Exactly.
Whatsoever.
And then here come all the Yahoos trying to jump into your parade as they see it's getting hot. I mean, how many realtors were there back in 2006 and 7? It seemed like every second car that drove past me was either a contracting car or a realtor.
Yes.
And now where are they?
Everybody I knew. Oh, did you know I started a new business?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Oh, I'm a real estate broker now.
Yeah. Now, you want to talk about getting sucked in on a trend. I mean, that's the same thing we're trying to explain to you, that you might be, now that's talking about looking at your next door neighbor. Oh, I sold 6 houses and look at me. You know, it doesn't mean that that's the job of your dreams. Or do you really want to sit and drive around in a car for your whole life?
And take up your whole weekend.
Yeah.
Showing homes. Well, and this will just kind of spill towards next week, but one of the best things I've heard from Warren Buffett, I mean, this is probably the one glaring example of the stock market can work pretty well. If you are Warren Buffett, he's proven that you can make a boatload. But I saw an article by him just a week or two back where he was talking again at the big summit out in Omaha. Mm-hmm. And he discussed the fact that everyone gets so caught up in these 200-day moving averages and the trends and the charts and everything. And he said flat out, if you're buying a good company with a good business that's viable, that people are going to use their products, it doesn't matter, because you might just be in one of those business cycles. If you're going to hold on to it for long enough period of time, it's going to weather the storm. It's going to do well. And he's built an entire fortune, one of the richest men in the entire world, based on those principles. Granted, he has a infinity as his time horizon, which is a little bit different than your ordinary everyday person. But
yeah, the one thing that interests me then is, why did he buy IBM? But that's another discussion.
Yes. Well, there's a fair chance we'll discuss that next week.
Yeah.
Well, once again, this is the Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Bick.
And again, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach us by phone, 858-764-7250. Leave us a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we can to answer your questions or help you analyze something. Or you can email us, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. Our podcasts, all of our previous shows are available on iTunes. Just search out theportfoliodoctors.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
1170 KCBQ.